my spirit is blowing, changing the atmosphere, opening hearts to heed my word. Notice again, it's hearts that are being opened. Serious times are coming, and it is important to hear and heed my words. New chapters will be written. My warriors are prepared to advance. I have given you the power to overcome all obstacles. Press on, press on, press on through. No time for sitting, it's time for action. That's your vision too. My dear ones, nothing is too big for me, as long as you have faith, unending, unrelenting faith. So stand up, overcome your obstacles, press on, press forward, lift my banner high. What's his banner? His banner is?
Banner of love.
Thank you. Heed my words, prepare for action. My word is coming forth. Ready your hearts and receive. Now, Vivette, you pointed out that it's the love. See, that's what you need to remember. When you impart love, you will receive love. And the comfort that comes from that love is the Lord. So for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, works through love. So he got me up this morning, and I want to share a little bit about grace and truth. So in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, grace and truth came. And it said, the word, his indwelling in us. And of course, it's the Apostle John that's speaking. He said, we've seen his glory, and the glory of the one and only, begotten, who came from the Father of spirits, which I put in of spirits, full of grace and truth. I wanted to stress this because sometimes we have an understanding of grace that only speaks of favor, but I believe it's more than that. The Lord Jesus, your spirit is resident in me. By his spirit, I'm full of grace and I'm full of truth. Now, how many of you were brought up in Roman Catholic background? Okay. I remember saying to the Lord, how come you filled Mary full of grace? Why not us? And he did. So, when did he fill Mary full of grace? Even before. She was prepared by grace. Okay? So now, we also have her declaring when she meets Elizabeth, and she declares, okay? And she's decreeing, actually, what's happened to her. Now, when did she receive the fullness of the Spirit?
When the angel visited her.
Day of Pentecost, exactly. John 14 says, I am the truth and life. That's John 14, 6. I am the truth and the life. Now, there's a lot more to those, but I'm trying to focus on two things. Grace and truth, or truth and life, because I'm going to take you to a scripture I hope to drive you crazy with it. That's my hope. It's to irritate all of the natural thinking so that you'll let go of your natural minds and grab on to the mind of Christ. That's my hope. That's my prayer. So if ever I have asked the Holy Spirit to really irritate you and irritate your mindsets and your religious mindsets, that's my goal. So I am after a new creation being formed in you tonight. So that when you leave here, you'll have a new mentality about who you are and why you're here. Got it? Luke 2:40 says the child grew, Luke 2, verse 40, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Okay? John 1:17 confirms it. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge. That's intimacy. That's knowing. That's intercourse. Connection. Got it? 2 Corinthians 12:9. St. Paul is being told, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So those of you who are irritated by your weakness, get over it. Look at your neighbor. Say, get over your weakness. God's going to give you grace. And if you think you're falling short, cry for more grace.
Cry for more grace.
He's got plenty.
Got it.
All right. So, St. Paul was irritated because he wanted to get rid of this weakness. And the Holy Spirit says, you got the wrong attitude. Because, you know, we'd like to irritate the inner man sometimes because we're so tired of making the same mistake.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But it's also from God's perspective when you humble yourself and say, oh my God, I did it again. And you run back to him, you're humbling yourself. James chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Is it not what's inside of you? Well, guess what? We all got the same problem. And the Lord knew about it. And he told his precious apostle Paul, get over it. I've got grace available. So cry out for grace because that is the solution. Grace and truth will set you free. Okay? Now, to Timothy, verse 1. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 2:1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You'll also see it in Revelation 22:21. Then you've got Titus 3:7, where it says you're justified by grace. Then you've got 1 Timothy 1, verse 14. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ. Now here's the piece that I pray will irritate you. If you've got your Bibles, go to Titus chapter 2. Because when I read that today, and I pray that it irritates, like I said, to the point of you seeing something that you may not have seen before. Chapter 2. The whole chapter is excellent. But are we there yet? Close, huh? Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12 says, it. Now, what is he talking about? It. It's talking about grace. Grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness, to worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. So that grace is given to us to what? To redeem us from all wickedness. And then the next verse is super sweet. And to purify for himself a people. You got it? To purify for himself a people. Not you trying to clean up your own act. So you can retire from trying to clean up your own act tonight. And rely on his grace. And his favor and his truth. That lives within you by his spirit. See, it says to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good, not to satisfy themselves or their legal connections or religious connections or religious traditions, which is what we spoke about earlier. Verse 1 of, well, verse 15, I'm sorry. These then are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Do not let it happen. So, St. Paul is writing to Titus, and he's making it so clear that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He's not making believe. It's already happened. Now, for us, it's 2,000 years back. But for God, that's not a problem. And the grace teaches us to say no. It's not you irritating yourself to the point of, you know, being on your best behavior because you decided to be holy today. How many know it doesn't really usually work? How many of you have seen yourself make a decision, you're going to be so holy today, and make it the biggest, worst day of your life?
Amen.
Why?
Trying too hard. Trying too hard.
Crying too hard is good. What else?
The enemy hurt us. He makes it difficult for us.
I would say it's you, because you've chosen to try to clean up your own act. Because you're the one that's in control. It's not the Lord anymore. It's you trying to become holy on your own, which is pride. See, he doesn't say, for you are to make yourself holy and bring yourself to salvation. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men and teaches us, his grace teaches us to say no. Are we relying on ourselves to say no, or relying on his grace to say no? Does that blow your mind? That I'd excite you to really trust in his grace more than you've ever trusted before. Because his grace and himself are one. If I go back to John, it says grace and truth came. Where are they residing now? Where is that grace and truth residing? Within me and you. So trying to clean up my own act is really defying the grace of God and the truth of God, who has already resident within, saying, when are you going to ask for my help? When are you going to humble yourself? Pretty good stuff, right? Because now you're no longer relying on the biggest fool in town, meaning me, okay? You're going to be relying on the best mind in the entire universe, the mind of Christ. You're going to be relying on his abilities to change and heal what you could have never healed. And you'll become a lover of yourself first. Oops. I did not go in. Close your eyes. I don't want you to look at anybody. Say, Lord Jesus, I've got to start loving myself. Because you already love me. It's about time I get with the action. To love myself as I love my brothers. Because my Father God loved the whole world. Enough to give up his son. He loved me enough to bring me to salvation. And to purify me. And to make me holy. By grace and truth. Not my actions. Not my resolve to be holy today. I go back, and I'll give you what the Amplified says, because I was pressed to take the Amplified with me. Because sometimes the Amplified makes it a little tiny bit clearer, but this one, I didn't think made too much difference. Okay? So be patient with me for a moment. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God, here he adds, his unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward, and in parentheses it says appeared. For the deliverance from sin. So grace has appeared and favor has appeared for the deliverance from sin. I thought you should clean up your own act and deliver yourself. But that's not what the scripture says. I mean, you can make sacrifices till the cows come home and you're going to succeed in doing what? Getting tired. Now, does your Bible say deliverance from sin and eternal salvation for all mankind? Yeah, that's what it says. Then it says in verse 12, it has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness. It has trained us. Grace and truth and favor has what? Trained me. That's pretty good stuff. To reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligious, and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world. Amongst all the garbage that's around us. Awaiting and looking for the fulfillment and the realization of our blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us, purchase our freedom from all iniquity, and purify for himself a people to be peculiarly his own. People who are eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. Kind of cool, huh? I'm going to ask you now, before we go up to the communion table, to ask the Holy Spirit to take away your religious mindsets, wherever their background is from. Because I'm trying to make you rely on him more than you've ever relied on him. I'm trying to make you realize that grace and truth and favor is so much bigger than anything else that we have ever known. And believe it or not, this came at 5:15, 5:30 this morning. And I kept saying, God, why didn't I ever see this before? It's so clear. It is absolutely so clear. All my efforts just kind of fold up when I see what he's done for me. All this stuff that we didn't know any better, and I'm not accusing anybody. That's not the point. But this scripture is so sweet because you can see that grace of God and his favor and blessings has come and appeared to deliver us from sin. If you try to deliver yourself, you're going to find, like we already agreed, that we fall right back in. But if we ask for his favor, his grace, his mercy, it's sufficient for us. If it was sufficient for Paul, it's what? Sufficient for me. Amen?
Amen.
So would you lift your hands to the Lord? Close your eyes. Say, I'm expecting the Holy Spirit.
I'm expecting the Holy Spirit.
Who heard this message.
Who heard this message.
He's the author of it. To make it real to me. So that I can go forward. And trust his grace. His unmerited favor. His blessings. To get rid of the sin. Out of my life.
Out of my mindset.
And out of my body. Because I've tried and I didn't do well. I admit it.
I need you, Holy Spirit.
Redeem me
from
all the darkness
and the mindsets that I learned
since I've been in this realm. And give me your mind, Lord,
that I can really be
what you've called me to be
for eternity
without condemnation,
without guilt.
Without all kinds of complaining.
Because God's got a plan.
And it's the best plan in town.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Come.